Hi everyone, welcome to Jaw Talk with Dr. Tiffany, your one-stop destination to learn about the intersection between dentistry, physical therapy, and airway health. I'm your host, Dr. Tiffany Lamberton, and I'm so glad you're here today to take you on a journey of discovery in the jaw-dropping world of airway plus myo plus TMJ. Welcome to the show. Hey everybody, this is Dr. Tiffany of TMD Collective, and this is another episode of Jaw Talk Podcast, and I'm so excited to welcome my friend Kim Seemers, also client.
Quick legal disclaimer, all information in this podcast is the opinion of the speakers and not meant to be a substitute for a diagnosis and consultation of a qualified healthcare provider.
So it's been 2 years since you and I recorded basically the first podcast episode. Well, I was like number one, you were number two. And then it took me a year to get my act together to actually produce the podcast. So thanks to Priscilla, who does all the background stuff. But I just, as May 1 is approaching, it's been 1 year of Jaw Talk Podcast. So I really wanted to have you on. So Kim, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Welcome.
Welcome back for Hot Talk. I'm excited to be here again. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
It's great to see your face and to talk to you.
I know. I miss you. We just have to like content with like one visit a year when you come into town.
I know. I'll be home in August, so.
Yay. I can't wait. Well, tell our audience, you know, you, if it's okay if I share this, you were my TMJ client. You were kind of one of the OG people back before I started TMD Collective. And you were actually very instrumental in encouraging me to get out there, start my own practice, start my own thing. And, you know, kind of just share with our audience, you know, a little bit about your story with your TMJ and kind of how it's going.
Sure. So like we talked about in my original episode, I kept going to different specialists because I thought there was something wrong with my ears and my sinuses. And I couldn't figure out why I had, you know, neck pain, ear pain, sinus pain. And I went through like a handful of ear, nose, and throat doctors that also didn't know. And then I got with Dr. Edmond. He's wonderful, wonderful doctor. No, and he did some more in-depth imaging. He took, instead of just doing x-rays and sort of leaving me with no answer, he did a full 360 CT and he looked me dead in the face and said, have you ever been referred to or talked to anyone about TMD? And I said, I don't even know what that is, sir. Does that have something to do with my ears? Like, I don't, what are you talking about? So he started to explain to me that he thought, you know, there was a breakdown in the joint of my jaw on either side, and that I needed to see a specialist. And this is the first time I think I was, what was I, maybe 31, 32, when he finally was like, this is, I think, what's causing the issue. And I think that you need to go see someone, and I have a referral for you. And that referral was, of course, you. And it was, I know, it was honestly like the best thing in hindsight that he could have ever done for me. That I think that any provider could have done for me with that issue, because I had suffered for years, you know, and like right before I had my son, I was scheduled to go do allergy testing because my sinuses had got so, you know, they'd gotten so bad. And then, you know, I was pregnant. So they were like, well, come back after you have the baby, because we really don't encourage pregnant women to do this testing. And so then I thought, I'm going to try a new ENT. So I went to another ENT before Dr. Edmond, and that didn't work out. So then when I finally found him, I feel like it was kismet. He gave me a referral. We met in your office. You taught me some really good exercises to try. And then you did my first round of masseter Botox. And that was, I mean, an absolute game changer. I mean, I think a lot of people who have TMD, they don't even realize some of the things that they do that are contributing to their pain. And for me, that was a lot of clinching, which, you know, those injections were of absolute importance to me because the clinching was so strong. And I think that without that Botox, I would have continued to do that. And it was one of the first things you said to me, like, this is worth considering. We should really get into this because I think that's probably what's going on. And you suggested a few things that I could do, a few exercises I should try. intraoral massage, and then also my appliance. And so with all of those things combined, oh, the gentle jaw, which I still use. Yeah. But all of those things combined, I was really able to reduce my pain. And it's not, I don't even think it's even just about access. It's about awareness, because these are things like I had access to for so long, but I had no awareness of like even what this was or how to maybe help myself, you know? So it's been life-changing to have you around, you know?
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, there's been a lot of hate right now on the internet about Botox for TMJ. And, you know, one of the things that I really advocate for is a comprehensive exam plus modern imaging. In your case, we had done an MRI of your TM joints. We knew about your disc situation and your condition. And so, you know, when you're given all of those different options, for a lot of times, some of the options aren't available for people. And so Botox is a tool in the toolbox. And I always explain that, you know, this isn't curing the joint condition, but sometimes it can help with some of the muscle myalgia or the, you know, the trigger points that you have kind of during that time period while the Botox is active. So I'm very upfront with patients about, you know, it's not a cure, it's not, you know, treating the joint, but it is reducing like how hard you're contracting the muscle. So like I said, I think it's hard because patients, you know, they're on TikTok or they're on, you know, social media and, you know, someone's like fear mongering about Botox. What would you say to that person?
Well, let's backtrack. I forgot about the MRI completely because, and I know people are afraid of MRIs. The MRI was so comfortable for me, like in my opinion, that I was so willing to go through it to sort of get to the root cause. And you sent me for a specialty MRI, and I would say that the commute was worse than the imaging, if I'm being honest. Like getting to Bellevue from, you know, Pierce County was no small feat. So I would encourage people to get an MRI. I know a lot of people don't like to be in the chamber that they do those in, but it was fundamental to allowing you access to that imaging, but the right imaging. And that's how you could truly help me. And then to address the question about this fear mongering that's going on with Botox, I think that, I mean, I too had hangups before I knew what Botox could medically do to help me. I think that I was kind of like, you know, so misinformed about what Botox even does or what it can do to help people who do have this constant use of muscle and what that could look like and the relief it could present for somebody. And now all day I advocate, I'm like, if you have any type of jaw pain, you should seek a provider who will give you Botox or who will at least discuss it as an option or if it's an option for you. You know, everyone's different.
I was just going to say, I mean, there's risks and benefits with every procedure, right? There's benefits with like Tylenol or, you know, a hot pot. You could burn yourself,
Do you remember the first or second time you gave me Botox and I fell asleep on the heating pad? And then I had to call the emergency number in the middle of the night. And I was like, did I just heat up a botulism in my face?
I totally forgot about that story.
Oh my gosh, it was so funny. You were I promise you, Kim, you didn't compromise your RBF.
I completely forgot about that story. I swear, when I said that as a complication, I forgot that story.
I was I fell asleep because it was on my neck, you know, which again, people with PMD do suffer from soreness in their neck. It's a whole, because everything's connected. And I think that's what a lot of people don't realize. Like, I was seeking out, you know, ENT specialists. Because it's all connected, right? So this would get inflamed and it would affect my sinuses and my ears. It also affects my neck. So I fell asleep with the heating pad on my neck without reading like through the instructions. Then I sat up in the night and I said, honey, and I turned to my husband, Zeb, and I was like, I think I wasn't supposed to do that.
Oh man. It turns out you're all good. You were all good.
I was totally fine. You're it's really nothing to worry about. I think you're going to be okay. And guess what I was? Now the story.
So tell us how it's going now, because you've had, you know, kind of some ups and downs with your symptoms. You know, tell our listeners a little bit about what's going on with you now.
Sure. So I do still have pain. That's, you know, it's something I deal with on a daily basis. It's still there. I think people with TMD will tell you that they have some days that aren't as bad as others. I do sleep with my appliance in every night, and I find that that truly does help. If there's a night where I don't have it, the next day I'm paying for it, that's for sure. I did move away from you across 5 states, and so I haven't been getting Botox as much as I would like, but I do practice my own intraoral massage, which you taught me. And I do have exercises that I complete on a regular basis. And I find that if I'm not doing them, I'm in more heightened amount of pain than if I do them. So I try to remember, like, this is the same part of my routine as like brushing and flossing my teeth. You know, this has to be part of my daily routine. It can't be something that I overlook, because then I'll be struggling. Yeah. So I try to give to myself the best amount of treatment I can provide to myself. There are things that I can't do. Like, for instance, I'm terrible at the intraoral massage, and you're great at it. Like, when I leave your office, I can always tell that I'm relaxed, way more relaxed than I am when I'm on my own. I complete the exercises, but I probably don't do them perfectly. So I think it's all about making progress. Like, I'm better at them now than I was when we first met. That's for sure. And I do get Botox. You give me Botox every time I see you. I would prefer maybe 3 times a year. I'm lucky if we do that once. But I am searching for a provider in my area. I did get a recommendation from my current dentist, but you and I are going to work together on that. And hopefully I can find someone who's on the same page as you and I, because you have not only sort of walked me through this experience that is huge. This is a huge thing. This is a big part of my life. It's a daily thing that I struggle with. You not only have you walked me through it, but you've educated me. And I think that I've also gone out of my way to educate myself. That's something I never thought that I necessarily would. You know, I can recite a lot of Washington state law back to you, but I don't know a lot about the human anatomy. So for me, it's been so fundamental to my healing journey to follow your recommendations. And it's obviously, it's not a cure, but there is a certain amount of relief I get from all of the exercises you've taught me and all the treatment you provide me. So for that, I'll be eternally grateful.
I appreciate your honesty and clarity and just sharing your journey. I think that's really important for other women, especially to just kind of hear what you've been through and, you know, just to know that there are other people that are kind of going through the same process, but there are options too.
Yeah.
So one of the things I wanted to talk about was there was just a CBS News article about the horrors of TMJ. And it was really basically like the gist of the article was like, you should just do nothing because, well, first it was like kind of like fear mongering in my opinion about TMJ surgery, which TMJ surgery, I think, has gotten a lot of bad press through, you know, the 80s and the 90s, because they were trying different things to replace the disc. And, you know, some of those things were not so great. And so there was revisions that, you know, and I think also, you know, the news always shows these pictures of, you know, people that have maybe had like a total joint replacement, you know, that they're like half robot, like their metal mouth, or, you know, it's just like seems scary. So you and I have talked about TMJ surgery as an option, just knowing to, again, educating you on the different types of TMJ surgery, and also just knowing that it does depend on the surgeon. Just like if you were going to go in and have a rotator cuff repair for your shoulder, or see, you know, another type of surgeon for other orthopedic injuries, there's variability between surgeons. And so I think it's important for people to just understand, again, we need individualized care. what worked for one person may not work for another. You know, you may have had a great result with one surgeon, but another person didn't, but maybe they had different risk factors than you did. So I know I asked you to read the article and you said you have thoughts. I'd love to hear your thoughts about the horrors of TMJ surgery.
Okay. So I think fear-mongering is the best description of this article. I mean, it really is going to take a person who either has no awareness of TMD treatments or has an awareness of them but is apprehensive, going to take that person and turn them away from it altogether. Like, I'll just, like you said, I'll do nothing about it because living with this pain is better than having a botched surgery. And I think a lot of people are always afraid of, like, what if this goes terribly wrong, right? The first thing that, you know, that this article very specifically failed to mention is that I don't know about everyone else, but I can say with certainty that every time I've ever been given like surgery as an option, I have been told the benefits and the risk factors. This is what could happen if you decide to allow me to do this. And this, I am a person who has had three other surgeries apart from the fact that I need potentially in the future this jaw surgery that you and I have discussed, right? And each time that I had surgery, I was given, these are the benefits of this surgery. These are the risks. Now, I can't say that every doctor does this. I can't say that every patient listens to it. But I can say with a good amount of certainty that those options were presented to me. Yeah. So I think that people know that there are, you know, are certain percentage of bad outcomes. That's the first thing. The second thing is we have advanced beyond, like you said, the 80s and 90s when they were really, so yeah, they were, it was in its not infancy, but we're trying to find a way. And this worked in tests, like in testing. It's a new treatment. If you're willing, we can try it. That's how I very much view it. But it sort of painted it like, you know, every surgeon in TMD is going to fail you. There's no point in you going through with any type of treatment whatsoever, you know? And I didn't even see like more common, there wasn't much discussed about more common treatment modalities, which I thought was kind of disturbing, honestly, because again, it takes that awareness down a notch. It actually puts it in reverse. And I think that, you know, like I said, a lot of people have access, but a lot of people just don't have awareness. Now they're running away from awareness. And that could be detrimental to so many people who struggle with this on a regular basis. I think it's taking away the opportunity to seek treatment from people who otherwise might if they hadn't read this article. And that's truly how I feel. Like, I have considered surgery, and you and I have discussed, you know, the benefits, the risks, and you have even said, this is the person I would actually prefer you to get surgery from. So when you get there, when we get to a point where it's like your TMD just has hit a wall, this is the person, like, you and I already basically have our flight picked out. Like, we
have our camera crew with us.
Exactly. I think that like understanding your options is something that, in my opinion, people in the medical field have always tried to give me. No, I'm not saying that happens every time, but I'm saying my options are always clearly laid out for me. You know, you'll continue to endure this pain for who knows how long, or you can undergo a procedure and here are the risks and here are the benefits. Yeah. So I think with anything, there's risk. The second thing about this article that really bothered me, and I think that you and I discussed it on our text, is that it is trying to sort of cast TMD treatment in a negative light for the sake of salaciousness. Like these doctors are out here inventing the wheel and they're gonna put screws and pins in everyone's jaw, like you said, metal mouth everywhere. And that's half not the case.
Yeah. Half human.
Exactly.
Even the pictures in the article were just,
I
like,
know. So Well, and that's the point, right? Is like, it's meant to sort of be this salacious article about doctors providing treatment, but not really providing treatment in a nation where we're already kind of skeptical about medical treatment in the first place and who's actually lining their pockets, right? Because let's face it, a lot of Americans are kind of upset with treatment options and insurance and providers and insurance and providers. And we all have these constant conversations. You see it if you just look at the news. It's a constant conversation that we have in this country. And I think that this specific article went out of its way to make people feel like there's some kind of, we just want to give you this surgery because we know that you might say yes. And if you do, then we all get rich, but you. It's kind of like
hilarious plot.
Right,
exactly. TMJ surgeons.
Right. TMJ surgeons and insurance companies are linking up to scheme, you know, to your detriment is kind of how it made it seem. But then the last thing that sort of really bothered me is that the article itself admits that women underreport TMD because they are afraid they won't be taken seriously. That is a real issue in medical today. Women are constantly afraid of not being taken seriously. You see it all over social media. You talk about it with your girlfriends. I mean, I talk about it with my sister. We're afraid to report something because we're afraid that the person we're reporting it to will just say, oh, that's just probably from your cycle. Oh, you're in pain? That's a woman thing. Don't be so hysterical.
Right.
You know, we're just not taken seriously in medicine sometimes. And I think that the article admittedly points out that a lot of these treatments, they were kind of late to the game because TMD is underreported. And how about we discuss more about the underreporting and why that's an issue? I think really we need to discuss why is that an issue? And let's come to some kind of understanding that it's not underreported maybe as much anymore. Because there are treatment modalities available and they don't all result in you ending up with a full replacement.
Right. Well, and we know too that if you lose that little protection of that little disc or the little cushioning, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you wear through the tissue that's behind that and all of a sudden you become bone on bone and your, you know, your condyle becomes this, like, I call it the little bird beak stiletto heel, you know, where you're just trying to balance on this tiny little bit of bone. And we all use our jaws all day long for eating, singing, chewing, you know. Huh. I mean, like, you would never tell a 12-year-old girl who has no cartilage in her knee, oh, just don't go up and down stairs for the next 15 years until your knee degenerates enough to where you need a total joint replacement.
Right.
But that's essentially like what we're doing to TMJ patients. We're gaslighting them until they have no bone left. And then that's the only solution, is that you do have to put in that prosthetic joint. And I just, you know, that's kind of what TMD Collective, you know, I want to target also those moms that have the, you know, the 5 to 15-year-old young girl. Like, they may not have the kind of symptoms and pain that you have as an adult, but if we can recognize who those young girls are before they've started to lose the disc, they've started to degenerate, you know, if we can detect that early, you know. But I just think we suck at prevention and we suck at detection. We suck at diagnosis, you know, in our healthcare system. But really, that's the only way we're going to change this whole narrative or change, you know, these, you know, 10 million women. Well, it's like 30% of adults have TMD and it's like 9 women to 1 man. You know, the only reason, you know, the only way we're going to be able to change these stats is if we can kind of have that crystal ball when we have these young, you know, young children and be able to detect that early. So, you know, that's the hard part, is to do it before you had braces, to, you know, to figure out if, you know, what structural things did you have before you went through, you know, before you went through all of your kind of dental history. And that's, honestly, it's a hard sell for people. But, you know, if we're already in young children, you know, I mean, I have young girls as young as 7 who have dislocated discs, and, you know, trying to convince the parent, like, hey, when you lose that disc, it's not a health neutral position, because what it does is it makes the jaw go back further. So, you know, the jaw becomes closer to the airway space, you know, more likely to have sleep related breathing disorders, or, you know, predisposes you to like all kinds of things that are just not health neutral. And so, unfortunately, you know, we do have kind of this like tiered medical system where, you know, if you can afford your MRI, then, you know, you can get it. But if you can't, you're like out of luck.
That's the access piece, right? So like I said, a lot of Americans maybe don't have access. I did, but a lot of people don't. And those who do, then they don't have the awareness. Or in this situation, let's say you have a 7-year-old, what parent is going to read that article and then be apprehensive as hell,
right,
to seek treatment for their child? What's better if I just do nothing? Because if I do something, they're going to turn her into this metal mouth monster.
But the problem is, when you do nothing, then that's how it gets so bad that you have no bone dial, you have no bone left. So,
and the article failed to mention what would happen if these people hadn't sought treatment. It was sort of just a slasher piece, right?
That's a great way to describe it.
Seriously.
Love you. This is why I have you on the podcast, so we could just really be real and have real jaw talk.
I love you too. And I'll be here anytime you'll have me. But I definitely believe in what you do, because I'm like the proof that it does work. And that also the importance of understanding what's going on with this disorder. I feel like you said, it's something that primarily does happen to women. Nine times more likely to happen to a woman, right? So if that's the statistic, then I think that we could all band together, you know, like
advocacy.
And it just like, as an analogy, we could all band together to like work on something that could benefit more women. And wouldn't it just be great if so many more women had the information anyway, like the total picture of information, not some slasher CBS piece, not, you know, these things that just, I feel, are counterintuitive to finding a treatment that works. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So yeah, we're working against ourselves at a certain point. And don't we do that enough?
Self-sabotage is not necessary.
Exactly. And that, you know, I definitely believe in you and your message and your mission. It's something that I have from jump said, like, this woman is smart and she knows what she's talking about. And she's, you know, you have a passion for this. There's an absolute burning in you to constantly be taking in new information and to be distributing as much information as you can. And I hope you never stop.
Thank you, friend.
Thank you. I mean, really, you're constantly thanking me. I should thank you. How much pain I was in when I first saw you versus today. I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Thank you.
In my opinion.
But. Well, Kim Seemers, thank you so much for being such an advocate for me and TMD Collective. Thank you so much for being on Jaw Talk Podcast. I can't wait to see you in August. And if you love this episode of the show, please share it with your friends and tell everyone about Jaw Talk and what we're trying to do here at TMD Collective. So
thanks for having me. Take care. I'll see you in August.
Thanks for tuning into Jaw Talk. We hope you had a blast listening to our jaw-dropping episodes. Before you go, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to our show to make sure you don't miss an episode. And if you enjoyed the show, please share it with your friends. If you'd like more information, check out tmdcollective.online. Stay humble, stay curious, and see you next time.